Mida of Malchus with the goal of reaching an understanding of how Malchus manifests itself in Shabbos, because Shabbos is the Yom HaShvi'i, and the seventh is the Mida of Malchus. But before doing that, we still have just one more introduction that we'll finish up with tonight, and then we can move over into Shabbos, B'li Neder, next time. Okay. What we spoke about was the fact that the uniqueness of the Mida of Malchus, as opposed to the previous six Midos, was that there's less Lemigarme Klal. There's nothing new over here. Rather, what we are doing is we are actualizing a potential. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a potential of relating to the world in six different spheres, but those are the previous six. It's Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, etc. And moving these six from the potential to the actual, uncovering these six, being able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his full splendor, that's what Malchus consists of. So to a certain degree, this is human history. Human history is a process. This is what's spoken in Das Tunos of the Ramchal, of Gilui Shechina, of uncovering. This is what we speak about in Malchios on Rosh Hashanah. V'haya b'yom ahu yeh Hashem echad v'ushmo echad. What does it mean, v'haya b'yom ahu? It's all there in potential. It has to be actualized. And we have, again, a symbol of this in that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the world, namely the moon, in terms of uncovering or bringing to the potential the light of the sun, which is there in potential at night. But as the moon turns, then that potential actualizes. And we spoke about the fact that this is the concept of Malchus Beis David, that they represent Malchus Shamayim, the throne of Shlomo was Kisei Hashem. And we spoke about the fact this is the role of Knesset Yisrael, this is the role of Klal Yisrael, to reflect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My father, Zechron Levracha, was once a chaplain in the American Army, and he was stationed in Japan. And he was speaking to another Jew who was there in Hebrew, and one of the Japanese individuals asked, "What is that language?" And he said, "It was Hebrew. Who speaks Hebrew?" He said, "Jews." The Japanese had never seen a Jew, didn't know what exactly is a Jew. So they tried to explain. He said, "Oh, you're Anna's people, and you're the people of Anna Frank." He had read the book Anna Frank. "You're Anna's people. You're God's people on earth." That was his definition. Namely, this is what we're speaking about over here in terms of Knesset Yisrael. So you realize that we're talking over here that Malchus has a dynamic by the nature of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to accomplish in this world. And again, Be'ita Achishena, the 6,000 years HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to accomplish it, and the goal will be accomplished. The only question is whether we can get it in our day, B'mehera B'yameinu, Amen. In other words, whether we can move it to an Achishena rather than waiting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring about the result, that we're moving from a sliver to a gadol, right? That's the Levana is the Maor HaKatan. David is the youngest of the seven brothers. Yaakov Avinu is the younger brother, the younger son of Rivka, Bena HaKatan. In other words, that and the whole ceremony of Kiddush Levana basically speaks about Tischadesh, that just as the Levana is moving in the direction of growth, and just as we speak of Yemosa Mashiach, the Levana will return to Bek Vechama, so also Knesset Yisrael is going to grow from the Katan to the Gadol. And that we have the initials of Yaakov Avinu, Baruch Yotzrech, Baruch Osech, Baruch Konech, Baruch Barech. We have David Melchus Rochai Vekayim. Namely, all of these factors are this is the concept behind Kiddush Levana, that we speak about the fact that our goal is to uncover the Malchus and to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world in this manner. So, having said that, there are two yisodot that have to be stressed. One is the stress is that if we are going to be a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, less le'migar me'klal, the fact that we don't have anything of our own is not just a theoretical concept, but rather we're dealing over here with the reality. The moment you have a mirror, and that mirror has some shade of its own, that mirror has some surface which is of its own. Namely, it wants to be different, so it's never going to reflect totally. And if the mirror is pebbly, it's not going to reflect. If the mirror has a greenish tint, then it's going to give a greenish tint to everything. If you want to really reflect, the way of reflecting is bitul atzmi. It means I have to take myself out of the equation as much as possible in order for me to be able to reflect the malchus. So that is one factor which we're going to see very, very powerfully in terms of Shabbos with the Isur Malacha, namely taking everything external out of the picture. And the second yesod, and this is what's new for tonight, everything else, you know, relatively we had discussed at one time, the second yesod is that of Keter. Keter yitnu lecha. That the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim speaks about the fact that a Jewish king should wear a crown. What is a crown? A crown is basically put on a head. And what is a head? The head is the top of the body. Namely, what the crown does is it turns the king into being above everyone else. The crown, again, symbolically represents the fact that this king is above and beyond. And here we have, to a certain degree, the paradox of Malchut. On one hand, we want the king to be reflected by his subjects. Right? That the more the subjects reflect the king, the more that the Malchus is uncovered. However, it can't be that therefore the king and the subjects are on the same plane. There has to be a keter. And paradoxically, on one hand, the kingdom reflects the king. On the other hand, the king is above the kingdom. L'cha Hashem ha-mamlacha u'mitnasei l'chol rosh. On one hand, you deserve to be reflected. However, that reflection shouldn't be chavrusa klapei shmaya. Shouldn't be that we're going to talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu as though he is our friend because we're on the same plane. We reflect him. It has to be with the recognition of who Kadosh Baruch Hu is. That was from of the moon. The moon felt that since it reflected the sun, as we pointed out, even totally. So that I'm on the same plane on the sun. So the Rosh said, no, I have to explain to you who you are. You're the katan. You're the reflector. The sun is the source of energy. You are reflecting that source of energy. So here we have this paradox that on one hand the king is reflected in his subjects. On the other hand, he has to be above the subjects. He has to set the standard. Namely, if we want the subjects, let's say if the king represents chesed ve'emes, so he has to be above all of the pettiness that exists in the world in order for him to, and then the subjects can reflect on their level that chesed ve'emes, even within their pettiness, recognizing that his chesed ve'emes is on a higher level than their chesed ve'emes. That's this concept over here of v'yitnu lecha keter melucha, that we need over here the keter, Kadosh Baruch Hu is mitnasei, and the melucha and the reflection. It's not a contradiction. It just is that we have over here two things that are coming together. On one hand, the letrei migarmei klal, the reflection. On the other hand, the reflection doesn't mean an equality. The reflection doesn't mean that we're pulling HaKadosh Baruch Hu down to us. The reflection is that we represent something greater than ourselves. That's Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. We are Omeid Lifnei HaMelech. We may reflect the Melech, but we only reflect Gedulato, Nora Otav, namely that we reflect something which is beyond us. Rav Pinkus wants to give over here a mashal to take this, let's say, to the higher level in order to be able to speak about Shabbos. The mashal is if you have a king who has a son, and this son is getting married, and it's going to be a royal wedding. Right? Last year there was a royal wedding in England, so you know what a royal wedding is. A royal wedding is you prepare Buckingham Palace, you prepare Westminster Abbey. The whole country is decorated. The food is prepared like food was never prepared, etc. What would happen were the son of the king, the prince, never to show up? So would anyone say, well, he didn't show up, but there's all this food, let's enjoy. You know, there's all this pomp and circumstance, let's enjoy. Lehefech, it would be terrible. Namely, that without the chassan, there's nothing. There's nothing. On the other hand, when the chasam comes, he does three things. Firstly, it's a reason to be happy. Secondly, he gives a different meaning to everything that's there. Namely, bread is no longer bread. This is now the banquet. The bread turns into the banquet. In halacha, we say, no longer is it only hazonas ha'olam kulo b'tuvo, it's shehasimcha b'ma'ono. Namely, it's a whole different plane. Everything now is raised the ante. Namely, so it's not just that we have chesed, gvura, tiferes, and when the melech comes in, then the melech reflects that. The melech completes that. It's a reflection, but it also raises everything to a different standard. And not only that, but if we're going to ask people, what is your happiness here? Is your happiness the eating? Is your happiness the drinking? Is your happiness the aesthetics? They'll say, our happiness is the prince. The prince's simcha is our simcha. So that's what happened, right? Namely, that Malchus not only completes the other midos, not only gives them a different name, but it changes the whole perspective of everything that the melech simcha turns into our simcha. Yismach Yisrael ba'osav, v'nei tzion yagilu b'malkam. That the melech served, again, not just that I reflect the melech, not just that the melech is the keter, he's the higher standard, but my entire life becomes linked in with that of the king. His simcha is my simcha. His ratzon becomes my ratzon. This is what we're dealing with in terms of the Midah of Malchus. And we speak about the fact that this is the end of human history. This is the V'yitnu Lecha Keter Melucha, that all of mankind would have that relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, with all of this now, next time we can move over into Shabbos. How does Shabbos, on a weekly basis, fit into this concept of Malchus, which really is a dynamic which starts with the begin with Adam, and you know, it's and moves within human history to Noah, another 10 generations to Adam, and then through and then to Avram, and then through Jewish history, etc., until Mashiach. How does this fit in with Shabbos? Okay, that's our goal, Blue Nether, to begin with next time. Tov, okay.